So I don't know if you're familiar with the 2% concept or not, but it's based on the findings of sociologist and educator Robert Bela, author of the book Habits of the Heart, which was published in 1985. So Bela was for a long time a sociologist at the Institute for Advanced Studies at Princeton. While there, he came to this conclusion. He said, "We should not underestimate the significance of the small group of people who have a vision of a just and gentle world. The governing values," he said, "of a whole culture may be changed when 2% of its people have a new vision." I mean, think of that. All you need is 2% of the people, according to Bela, and you can change an entire culture. Now, today's second reading is from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, in which he speaks about the unity of the body of Christ. Right? The Corinthians were very divided. He said, "When one part of the body suffers, all the other parts suffer with it." In other words, we are united to each other. In fact, he said that those parts that might seem weaker than others are all the more necessary. How can we apply what he's saying to our everyday lives? I mean, so many ways, right? But I think we can think of those who are quote-unquote weaker in society as maybe perhaps the poor or the underprivileged, the outcast, etc. And I think everyone, whether you're a Christian or not, wants to help those in need. I mean, that's built into us. But, you know, sometimes we can fall short in a particular way. We still tend to forget that the poorest of the poor are those who cannot defend themselves. Right? We have all more of an obligation to help those people who cannot defend themselves. But it's not who we might think who are truly the poorest of the poor. Mother Teresa would always say, "The poorest of the poor are those in the womb." So why am I talking about the unborn today? Well, thousands of us on Friday just marched in the annual March for Life, a peaceful and prayerful day against legalized abortion. And we took a full bus here from St. John's. It was awesome. You know, this past week, January 22nd, was the anniversary of the Roe v. Wade Supreme Court decision, legalizing abortion in all states. And thankfully, Roe has fallen in our country, but many states legalized abortion still remains. The gospel this morning, I think, fits perfectly with the call for protection of all people. Right? Such advocacy is at the heart of the gospel and of Christ's mission. "He has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captive, to let the oppressed go free." I mean, you can argue that nobody is more oppressed in our world today than the unborn child. The Spirit of the Lord, who is our advocate in heaven, fills us and makes us advocates for these lives. The advocacy takes so many numerous forms. Just as the second reading reminds us of the diversity of the one body of Christ, so that diversity is manifested in the pro-life movement, which is driven by the same Spirit, who is the Father of the poor, who seeks the same ultimate goal. You know, we need to remind ourselves of the extent of this tragedy and of the fact that it is, quote-unquote, our business to intervene for the victims of abortion, no less than it's our business to help the victims of crime or war, drugs, poverty, and any other type of violence. As Catholics, we know this, but we must hold that the right to life comes first. Nothing else can be achieved in this life if our own right to life, given to us by our Creator, is not respected and defended. Pope John Paul II taught this so clearly. He said, "The right to health, to home, to work, to family, to culture, is false and illusory if the right to life, the most basic and fundamental right, and the condition for all other personal rights, is not defended with maximum determination. From the moment of a baby's conception, that baby is a person, a beloved creation of Almighty God, and that baby has a plan and a purpose in this life, to know, love, and serve God, so he may be with God forever in heaven. And those circumstances tend to cloud this reality. A direct abortion at any stage in the pregnancy is the direct and intentional killing of a human life. It's the killing of innocent human life, similar to euthanasia. Therefore, it's always and everywhere wrong. So as Catholics, we must continue to pray for an end to abortion in our country and in the world. We must pray for all mothers and fathers in very real and very difficult situations. Prayer is only the beginning. We must defend life through our speech and also in our actions when called upon. We must be true heralds of the gospel. I know, sometimes it's going to be difficult to stand up for what is right. Speak up to our friends or classmates or family if they're speaking in support of abortion. But just because it is difficult doesn't mean it's not the right thing to do. People are not going to agree with us at all times. But it's not between us and them anyway. It's between us and God. Christ experienced rejection by his own relatives in the scriptures. We can sympathize with the hurt and rejection we receive from our family members and friends when we're true to our Lord. We have to forgive the people who find our Christian beliefs and practices out of touch and face them with courage and gentleness and our convictions of love for Christ. Only Christ can set them free in the end. You know, oftentimes, many people who might think differently than us have often experienced the pain of an abortion. The primary way we can be heralds of the gospel, then, is to reiterate the message of mercy and love that Christ relays. Come to me, all you who are labored and burdened, and I will give you rest. And for anyone who has had an abortion or helped someone to get an abortion, if he or she turns to our Lord for mercy, our Lord is always kind and forgiving. There is no sin that is too big that God cannot forgive. That's why if we encounter anyone who's had an abortion, but has never truly healed from it, we should encourage them to go to the sacrament of Christ's mercy, the sacrament of confession. That sacrament is so healing. If one part of the body of Christ suffers, we all suffer with it. When our unborn brothers and sisters are dying because of abortion, the body of Christ suffers. When the dignity of women is insulted because of abortion, the body of Christ suffers. Never be embarrassed or nervous to stand up for the gospel. The gospel is the truth, and as Christ taught, the truth will set us free. We must pray for all those women and children and men who have been harmed by abortion. We must pray for an end to the culture of death in our country. We must be heralds of Christ's mercy to whoever we meet. We simply need to be the 2% needed to change a culture. As Pope John Paul II once said, "Never tire of firmly speaking out in defense of life from its conception. And do not be deterred from the commitment to defend the dignity of every human person with courageous determination. Christ is with you. Be not afraid." May we always be true to the gospel of Christ. And Christ's gospel is a gospel of life. Amen.